Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you who work so hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you today. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 bazillion years from now, but today, because you want that life of freedom while you're alive, while you're young, while you still have a family that loves you. You know, you want to be able to do the things with those that you love and do whatever you love whenever you want. But it's not just about your own comfort and convenience, because it's so much more than that. Because as you become blessed and you become financially free yourself, you now have the power and the ability to be able to bless more people's lives and create a ripple effect throughout your community, your family, and across the world, and create even a legacy through your family. And that, guys, is what excites me so much. And I appreciate you being a part of that ripple effect in my life, allowing me to teach through you. And thank you so much for again, you know, just sharing, for binging and listening in and tuning in and applying these things. Because, again, this is what makes it worthwhile for me, that feels like I have something that creates a legacy for myself and my family and for you that goes generations beyond me. Because this is much bigger than just me. This is about you and much bigger than you too. It goes beyond you as well. So thank you so much for being a part of this. Hey, as a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great stuff on there, as well as some blogs. And there's also that free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today, which teaches how myself and my clients have freed up on average $34,000 a year in the first year alone, actually, just by applying those concepts. So check it out. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. You know, the website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy up people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites, fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. Hey, so today I got an email from one of my clients who's also a listener here. And again, I love it when you guys send me great ideas and stuff. And in fact, over the last month, I've been in Arizona snowbirding and I've been meeting with some of my clients and jotting down notes of topics that are here to come in the coming weeks, just because of the conversations we've had. And this is what I love, because I love to hear what you guys are about. And this client, she actually had done a very large insurance policy with me. And she said, "Hey, Chris, you know, like, hey, I'm curious to hear what your reaction is, because here's a podcast by Susie Orman," right? Now, Susie Orman, over the years, it's funny because her tune has actually started to get closer and closer to mine, but she still has a lot of that traditional mentality. She's quintessentially like the financial advisor that's out there, right? Like, she is kind of beating that drum. And there's a lot of financial advisors that don't even like her, that say even what she's teaching is way old school, doesn't even apply anymore, and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you, I've listened to her advice over the years, right? I've seen the articles she's written, and she has gradually morphed her thing. She's not like Dave Ramsey, who's been beating that same drum over and over, but there are certain topics that she has not. And so, of course, this client who, like I said, did a large life insurance policy through me, said, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And now, she wasn't seeing this like as a concern. She was just kind of curious to hear my thoughts and reaction. So I'm going to give it to you guys too. And the beautiful thing is, there's a transcript on Susie Orman's podcast, so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. And so she talks about here, she said, "Hey, we're in season two. Did you listen to season one even?" And she's like, "I feel like I have to keep repeating this stuff over and over." And so the topic she brings up is, of course, life insurance. And she says, she has way too many women talk to her about life insurance policies, their whole life insurance policies they purchased. That's such a good deal. She's like, now, not just from one, not just two, but from tens of women. I like how she says that. It's like, not just one, not just two, but tens, you know? And she says, when I start getting one email from more than 10 women, I start to get concerned that you are making a really big mistake and you don't even know it. So then I think I've done a podcast on whole life, on universal, on variable life insurance, and why I hate them. And obviously, you haven't listened to it. So here she goes degrading you, which is what most financial advisors and people of that industry will do, is guilt you and tell you you're an idiot, right? Or that you just don't know, you're an ignorant fool, you know? And that's kind of how she treats you, isn't it? And by the way, if you've ever listened to her, you really hear her voice come out in this. She's definitely not someone who's respectful. But anyways, now here's the thing. She's already started to lump together whole life, universal life, and variable life insurance. Now, these are all different products. And this was the first point I made to my client is, first and foremost, is that she can't even make an apples-apples comparison. She just lumped them all together, which already shows you that either one, she's ignorant, or two, she has an agenda. Just so you know, by the way, she advertised for the FDIC, right, for banks, telling them, hey, put your money in these banks because you're guaranteed. Realize the FDIC has less than like 3% of funds available to cover in case banks go out of business. So real good guarantees there, Susie. Thanks. You know, thanks for selling out to that. So she's going to talk about it again now, right? She's like, I will restate. This is what she says. Quote, I will restate. Life insurance was never meant to be there for your whole life. It was meant to be there for your younger years when if you didn't have enough time to have made enough money or somebody else is financially independent, dependent upon you. And if something happened to you, you died, what would the people who are financially dependent on you do? Now, here's the thing. Let me start with just this one topic. She says that life insurance was never meant to be there for your whole life. Now, this right here, she had been in this industry a pretty long time. Now, granted, she came in the industry after they started saying buy term, invest the difference. Understand that term insurance, like she's talking about here, is the one thing she's a fan of, right? Term insurance didn't even come around until the 70s. So about the mid to late 70s when term insurance became a thing that became more popular. And in fact, it was the insurance companies and the financial institutions that partnered up together said, hey, we've had whole life. This is all they had back in those days. For the last few hundred years, it was always just whole life insurance. You would pay into it for your whole life because it actually was, despite what Susie said, meant to be for your whole life. But insurance companies and financial institutions got smart. They said, you know what? Most people die when they're older. We know that. So what if we did something that covered them only while they're young, when they're in their younger years, when they're not likely to die, and then it stops before they die? What would that be like? So instead of keeping it for your whole life so that it has to pay out someday and you have to keep money aside, why not just get some insurance that actually dies, you know, cancels before they do? And the cool thing is it's all pure profit. How would that be? You know, sure, there'll be that small percentage that dies before, you know, 65, 70 or whatever. But hey, this means we can actually, you know, get cheap insurance, which the customers will love because they'll love cheap. People love to buy cheap. But two, we won't have to pay out to them. You know, we won't have to pay out hardly anything. In fact, insurance companies, by the way, just so you know, most companies I've talked to will say their policies that actually pay out are only between 0.5% to 1% max. So basically meaning less than 1% of their policies ever pay out. That means everything you've paid in is just pure profit for them. So of course, buy term and then invest the difference. This, just so you know, if the insurance company can also do investments, they're making money in two places at once. Now they're making money on investments with guaranteed fees that you're putting in, telling you to live on the interest, don't pull out the principal so they can keep making more money. In fact, let it compound and grow. So then they'll keep making compounding cash flow for the rest of your life or pretty darn close to it. And they make money there and they'll make pure profit or really close to it on your life insurance. How awesome would that be? Guys, this is not rocket science. This is common sense. But she's making it sound like, oh, life insurance was never meant to be that way. It was always term insurance. Term insurance is only about 40 years old, guys. It's only about 40 years old, maybe 45 at the oldest now. That's a new thing that got popular by A.L. Williams. You know, Arthur Williams, that whole company that made, they did the whole buy term, invest the difference, right? And there's companies out there beating that drum even today saying, hey, buy term, invest the rest in IRA, Roth IRAs or whatever, right? By the way, guess what she basically says? So she says, of course, you don't need it when you're older. Now, here's the thing. Here's another point I made. She's like, you don't need it when you're older. When you get older, you won't need a life insurance anymore because you have enough assets to pay for everything. Here's the problem, guys, is that having enough assets, you just basically self-insured, but now you have taxable life insurance. Now, maybe she's counting that you guys are going to fail financially because the death tax for right now, right, is over $10 million. So you have an exemption, a death tax exemption that for the first almost really about $11 million of your estate as of this year, for the first about $11 million, you know, there's no tax on it. Anything above and beyond that, about 45%. Now, here's the thing, is that just 20 years ago, it was only $1 million. Now, if you end up dying with less than $1 million in your estate because you followed her advice, congratulations, you did it. You know, you followed her advice, you failed, you know, because $1 million living on 2 or 3% a year is only 20 or 30,000 a year, guys. You cannot live on that in freaking, that's poverty, guys. That's current poverty. And think if you're trying to supposed to be saving for that for the next 30 years, hey, that 20 or 30,000 a year will feel like nothing. You will have teenagers making more money than that in 30 years. Okay. So I always laugh when people say, hey, it'll be awesome. Well, what if this goes back? What if they start saying, there's politicians getting voted in saying, tax the rich, give to the poor. Hey, these baby boomers are about to start dying off a lot more here because the oldest baby boomer right now is like my dad's category is turning about 75, right? Well, hey, what if we get the right politicians in and start saying, let's start taxing on these estates because one of the biggest generations we have is dying off. We can pay off some of our debt that way. Why don't we do that? Guys, this could happen anytime. And again, we're not affecting the middle class. We're just going to tax the quote unquote rich. What if they lowered it down to $2 million? Guys, if you have any kind of success in your life, this is going to be a concern. And you're going to have an estate attorney saying, hey, you should probably get whole life insurance to pay your tax bill, whatever that might look like. And you get to that age, say you're 70 years old, that's a lot more expensive to have to buy insurance if you can even qualify for that time. So even just talking about the death benefit, notice I haven't even talked about anything about the cash value, which is one of her big arguments here. I'm just talking about the death benefit, and her reasoning alone is completely flawed and careless, in my opinion. Unless, of course, you're in the poor or barely middle class and you're not going to be financially free anyways. But I imagine if you're listening to this show, your goal is to actually have an estate that's going to pay you a good amount of money, at least be able to pay you into perpetuity, which you'll probably need a good amount of cash to do that. So I'm just saying that alone is a big red flag. Okay, so let me go into here. She talks about how advisors and insurance agents, right, will say you can have your cake and eat it too. She's like, you cannot. You can never have your cake and eat it too. It is physically impossible to have your cake and eat it too. I think it's amazing she's an expert on cake right now. All right, so moving on. You're being sold this concept, and this is what she says, and you're being sold this concept that you could provide for your loved ones as you are making money, and you're making a lot of money for on your yearly premiums. So you have these investments, cash value. So she gets talking about the cash value, money tax-free, right, access to that, as well as life insurance. And then you tell me the numbers and you tell me the things that your life insurance agent has told you and you believe them and you tell me about it. And then when I happen to ask, I ask you, can you send me an illustration? She's like, now she'll ask these women to do that, right? And so they'll say, well, what do you think, Susie? She's kind of rambling. It's hard to read the transcript on this, right? But anyways, she's saying, hey, well, send me the numbers. And here's the thing she says. She's like, I see it right in the bottom. They send me these numbers and it says, it's not guaranteed. And, you know, and of course these people are fighting, right? These people are sending her messages saying, have you seen how awesome this is? Are you sure? And she's like, I'm the expert here. You women are the idiots. You know, that's really what she's saying, right? She's saying like, well, send me the illustration and hey, it says it's not guaranteed. Now here's the next point I made to my client. She's going on. She goes on a little while about, well, dividends, they're not guaranteed. Show me where they're guaranteed. Now, first and foremost, there's three different types of insurances she lumped together. One, she talked about variable life insurance. That's correct. Not guaranteed. Variable universal life is definitely not guaranteed. Also, indexed universal life is not guaranteed. And it's subject to the stock market. Even though there's a cap and a bottom, you know, a cap and a floor, there's still no guarantees on that. And technically, even with whole life, there's no guarantees. Although, they actually will never lose money. That is the one advantage. Even the indexed universal life policy can lose money if the insurance costs are higher than the floor that it hits on a down market year. You could still lose money in those years. But with whole life, it's impossible. You cannot lose money unless you cash it out and you're getting charged compound interest that happens to be more than the interest you're earning, which is still pretty difficult to do, but it can happen. So anyway, so whole life has a guarantee to it. And she's like, well, send me the guarantees. Well, she's right. You send the guarantee illustration on a universal life policy, it looks pretty dismal. It will run out of money. Essentially, it becomes like kind of like expensive term insurance. And so she's correct. It can run out in your 70s or 80s. Granted, you will probably not have a term insurance that lasts in your 70s and 80s. So that's hard to do that. By the way, I'm not anti-universal life completely. I've actually written some universal life policies specifically for those that are older where whole life may or may not make sense at this point, but they want a guaranteed death benefit that they'll have something there if they were to pass away. So unlike term, which will eventually die out a lot of times before they will, I have a universal life policy that will as long as they keep paying the premiums, and it's less even than whole life premiums usually, they pay those premiums every year, they're covered no matter what. Even if they hit age 100, they get covered. And so it's not always bad. But I see what she's getting with this is because she's saying, hey, you know what? There's no guarantees. Well, guess what, Susie? Is anything you've proposed on your podcast or on your shows guaranteed? You're talking about the stock market. You might as well talk about variable life insurance, right? It's the same thing. It's fully goes with the ups and the downs. And sure, maybe you go into bond funds, which by the way, I don't know if bond funds, I feel a little bit iffy about the recession coming up. I wonder if bond funds might actually be one of the worst places to be, especially with certain types of bonds. But you know, maybe she thinks bond funds are good. But I know her philosophy on that. You usually will stay in the market at least somewhat, even in your retired years. Well, if the market goes down, then what? She has zero guarantees there. And somehow she's trying to make a comparison, right? So, and she'll even say like, well, wait, you know, she talked about this person that put in 2,500 a year, sounds like a 35-year-old, putting in 2,500 a year for 8 years. She says, after 8 years, you've got 29,000 cash value. She's like, well, wait, that's horrible. That's only, what did she say here? She's saying like, that's almost a 9% return on your money. Okay, cool. Yeah, she's saying that's total 9% return, whatever. Here's the problem with that too. Actually, I'm getting a much higher return than that if you're looking overall, but maybe she's talking about like average if you were to put in that much per year. I didn't calculate the numbers, but regardless, right? She's saying 20,000 to 29,000 being a 9% return. I mean, I don't know, 9,000 on 20,000 is actually a 45% return. I don't know where she's getting that. Anyways, so she's saying like, well, what have I missed? You know, she's saying like, I don't understand this. How does this even make sense? You know, you could just buy a term, invest the difference. Okay, let's say you buy a term. Well, of that 2,500 a year, let's say that you buy a term insurance policy, and let's be reasonable here. Let's say it's only $300 a year, right? You know, say it's a 20-year term. Now it might be more, might be less, but let's just say it's 300, even numbers. We'll make it 500 a year. Good, solid 20-year term or longer, right? Okay, well, that means 2,000 a year is going in for 8 years. That's 16,000 you have left to invest in that Roth IRA. Now, in 8 years, is she telling me the Roth IRA is going to be higher than 29,000? You know, 16 to 29,000, that's nearly 100% return. It could be, but it might not be. So already I'm like, okay, buy term, invest the difference. This is kind of a dumb point she's trying to make here because, and by the way, this policy they're talking about, I guarantee I would probably still do it better. I'd probably come out with better numbers. But regardless, you know, if it were 2,500 a year that somebody's trying to put away, I probably would recommend putting into whole life anyways. Not likely, unless you're really young, right? She was saying a 35-year-old, I would probably recommend just buying term anyways and then convert to whole life later when there's more cash flow. So again, different scenario, but here's the thing is that, you know, even the most expensive first year of whole life, usually most of my clients will have at least 75 to 80% of their cash going in the cash value right away. You know, only about 20 to 25% goes to the actual cost of the insurance in that first year. Normally, if you buy a whole life policy, it's true. 100% goes to costs. In fact, really the first 2 years, nearly 100% goes to cost. I don't like that. I like it to where there's more than 80% of your money in there after just 2 years. And usually after 5 or 6 years, you have just as much money as what you put in. And now it's still growing tax-free. Now she'll talk about things like investing in a Roth. Here's the other issue too. How can you become financially free investing in a Roth $6,000 a year for 40 years. Do the math, guys. Like, it gives you very, very little money. Saying like, hey, put your money in a Roth IRA, $6,000 a year max. Oh yeah, sure. Maybe that with the current rules, it might go up. Yes, after 50, you can put in a whopping $7,000. Okay, well, great. Who cares? That's nothing. You need to put away so much more than that if that's going to be your retirement. So she's probably going to say, keep maxing out your 401k, which also isn't a great rate of return. Here's the truth, though, is that she's talking still from an accumulation mindset of let it grow and compound, never touch that money until it's really too late. And then you'll find out whether you have enough money or not. My view, and this is why there's an anti-financial type of advice that I'm doing here, right? You know, this, what I'm talking about with a plan is creating acceleration, not accumulation. And I've talked about this on the show many times. I'm not going to beat a dead horse again, but past episodes, even recently within the last few months, I've gone over numbers of like 401ks versus real estate or whatever, right? I've gone over that kind of stuff. And I will tell you that accelerating by investing in things outside of mutual funds, which have a lackluster return of the last 30 years of about 7.5%. That's the average real rate of return before fees come out. And she also goes on about like fees, life insurance. And hey, I don't totally disagree with her. I just mentioned that a lot of times I actually cut my fees down. You know, she's talking about how advisors incentivize saying, hey, I'll make a good chunk of money. She's actually correct. I do agree with her on this one that, yeah, there are some advisors that look at the fees. Here's what I'll tell you from my own experience, 18 years being life insurance licensed. I make the same percentage of commissions on term insurance as I do on whole life, universal life, or anything else. It's the same. So when people say, oh, you make so much more money. Well, sure, if you look at it from the standpoint of people are putting in more money. But here's the thing, because of how I structure my policies, I cut down those costs. I'm actually shocked that sometimes term insurance is an easier buck for me if you're looking from a time value of money standpoint and time invested versus, you know, work and everything else. Quoting term insurance, I could do in a couple minutes and make sometimes almost as much money as the whole life side with the way that I design them. So I love that she talks about that. Again, that there is some truth to that, but it's not the full truth and it doesn't even apply to how I do it, you know, how I design them. And of course, this client already knows because her policy is this rock star awesome policy. She gets a great ROI on her cash there. So that's another thing that was an issue with what I had with what she had said. You know, so yeah, here's the thing. If I were to sum it up, here's the thing that she does not address that also I do address is that she definitely does not understand how you can double dip the investment returns, right? Because like I said, investing in alternative investments, that's the better way to go. Now you can still say buy term and invest in these other things. And in fact, I spent like a couple hours on somebody who wanted to see that. And you know, great, you know, awesome. Now, I don't want to ever run that for everybody, right? But again, I've run it so many times for myself, I've already seen it. And when I ran it, like it wasn't much different. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of difference. Sure, in the beginning, the buy term invest the difference, even into real estate, did okay. But eventually the whole life still caught up because the whole life allows you to grow your money in two places at once. Because say you have $100,000 in cash value in that life insurance policy, you borrow $50,000 to go and invest, you have that full $100,000 compounding tax free. Now that's something that she may or may understand to a teeny little level. She understands that there's loan options and whatnot. She mentions that in her podcast. But she doesn't understand really about that double dip effect because most life insurance agents don't understand it either. Most don't understand how the numbers work in your favor to become like the supercharged tax-free savings account. And it's not just that, but for most of the states in the United States, you have this 100% protection from lawsuits and creditors. Now, if you live in California, not as great from that standpoint, but still, you get protected at least from taxes. Secondly, it also provides an income stream that's even better than a mutual fund with better guarantees. And, you know, like for example, I had somebody said, hey, well, I want to see your guaranteed illustration on this one company. Now, this company did not offer an actual guaranteed illustration if you got 0% dividends for your entire life. Now, maybe they don't do that. I don't know the exact reason. I actually sent some feedback saying, hey, this wouldn't be bad if you did have a guaranteed column. But the feedback I had overall was, here's the thing, this particular company has paid dividends every single year since 1847. So guys, now we're into 2020, right? That means they've been paying for 173 years straight through all the different depressions and recessions over the centuries, you know, over nearly two centuries, they have paid dividends every time. You know, now they might vary, but they still always paid. So when someone says, yeah, well, can you show me a guaranteed? I said, honestly, the illustration that has the least significance is the guaranteed illustration, because truthfully, there's no way it would work. There's no way it would be like truth. But I still say, hey, here's a less, you know, a more conservative illustration here. Look at this, knock off 0.25% from what it's paying currently, which is still a lower dividend than what it's been. And the numbers are still awesome, right? And that's the thing, is when you start to factor in, even if you didn't use it for investing, right? Even if you just did it like the normal retirement plan type of thing, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but it's still an option. It still comes out just about as good as a mutual fund with cash flow. Sometimes it can be better depending on how it turns out. But the cool thing is that you don't have all this ups and downs and all this worry about, well, I hope I retire the right year, not when it's down years and then I lose money. So that's the thing that I think is awesome. So again, it gives you all the tax advantages like a Roth gives you, but you can put in way more than $6,000 a year, protected from lawsuits, creditors. It can create an income stream for you. You can double dip your returns and invest it with real estate. Guys, like, that's the stuff that she did not mention on her podcast, probably because she doesn't get it. And that's the thing, is that what Susie doesn't understand is that there's power. There's power behind that knowledge. And you have to have an open mind to do it. And I understand, I taught the same thing Susie taught just 15 years ago. I was poo-pooing all over whole life insurance and things like that. Here's the thing, guys, is that it's not true. You know, the truth is that she doesn't get it. And yes, sometimes she could be right, because of the type of insurance agent you go to might actually do it the way that she critiques. And she could be right. So it's not that she's 100% wrong. She's got a little pieces of truth sprinkled throughout this podcast. But overall, the problem is that she's painting this glorious picture on the stock market and mutual funds beyond what the reality really is, and then making it worse than reality type of comparison with the life insurance stuff. So, you know, that's my beef with it, guys, is like, you know, you listen to these people like a Susie Orman or a Dave Ramsey, and again, they mean well. Yeah. You know, and yes, they do have their own self-interest where they do advertise for certain types of companies and espouse certain strategies, and that even further ingrains it because their pocketbooks are tied to it. And yes, I make money off of life insurance because I design these policies too. So yes, my pocketbook's tied to it as well. But here's the thing, guys, I don't have to make a dime off these stinking policies. You know, I've already got that myself out of the rat race without the life insurance. This I'm doing because now, and I'm even training other insurance agents for this very purpose, to be able to teach to do it in a way that's better, a way that actually gives you guys a chance, a fighting chance. And heck, even if you can make 10 or 12% on your real estate, guess what? By using the life insurance strategy, that adds probably another at least 3 to 4% net extra return on top of the returns you're already getting, using the same monies you would have used anyways with your savings accounts and checking accounts. So guys, anyways, there's hope. If you have a question on this, again, this is a big topic, a bigger topic than maybe I have time to address in good quality, especially with how it applies to each individual situation. If you have questions, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com, and say, Chris, how would this apply to me? And would this even be a good strategy for me at this point? Because sometimes it's not, guys. Some of you reached out and I said, not now, not yet. It will be, but do these things first, then that could be another step. So anyways, guys, I hope this was valuable for you. Again, keep sending me these kind of requests. Keep sending me these kind of questions, because these are the things that I can use to help teach you and answer the questions you guys have. So anyways, guys, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we will see you later.
Hey! Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.